Wow. Well, you may be seated. Fantastic. You know what? I get amazed at what these guys do on stage. Because they do a great job. Amen? And I think they deserve our praise and attention. They do an incredible job week in, week out. And you know what? I've never really worked it out. Quite often the way that you go from one song to the next and you just make it flow, it takes skill. And I tell you what, I don't know, sometimes, like, you know when you get a song stuck in your head and you walk around all day singing it and then you've got to change it to another one? I don't know how they do that. So I give them a hand. They do an amazing job. Incredible. I'm just going to focus, I hope I get the name right, on a new, fresh little Easter bunny in this house. Chloe and Monza, and they've got little, is it Mahalia? Wow, I got it right. And my wife's been raving about this gorgeous, gorgeous little girl, and she's incredible. I wish you could see. You can't see. Yeah, come on. We need a Lion King moment, Monza. Come on. Well done. Fantastic. That's your best work yet. Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. Exciting. Just in time for Easter. You guys are awesome. Congratulations. He is risen. Do you agree? And that's the reason we celebrate this amazing, amazing Easter Sunday. Matthew 27, verse 28. If you've got your Bible, if not, just steal your neighbor's. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the others, Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake. As the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I've never seen that before. So there it is. He had a bit of a rest. Just beefed in there, rolled it over, and then had a quick break. I've never seen that before. He sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. That's pretty afraid, right? That's afraid, really afraid. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, Easter is amazing. Easter Sunday is the pinnacle of Easter. Because if we just had Easter Friday, then Easter Friday would have just left us feeling like there was a great prophet, a great man, an incredible man that was tragically killed, unjustly killed and crucified. And to be honest, there were a lot of people that were crucified in Roman times. And that would have been it. And we would have mourned who he was, and we would have mourned the injustice of the situation. But we all know this morning on Resurrection Sunday that the story never ended there. Amen? That we have a Resurrection Sunday. And the power and the miracle that we have and we know as Jesus Christ is because of Resurrection Sunday, because he didn't stay dead. Amen? Yes, it was a tragedy. Yes, it was an injustice. Yes, it was a brutal death. But the reality is, and history records it, that he was risen. Even in the books of Josephus and other historians and even accounts that are out there, Jesus is being recorded as being cited by literally hundreds and thousands of people after his death. Amen? That's exciting. History doesn't hold it back. We have BC and AD purely because there is a fact out there that Jesus did not stay dead. He was risen from the dead. And that proves that he was who he said he was. That the life that we have as believers is because of this very fact. Now for us here in this room, I guess for many of us, this Easter weekend is significant. And right across the earth, and I still love the fact that this earth still celebrates Easter. Amen? I'm sure there's battles at the moment to take any reference to Easter from a shopping center and this and that, and people start to try and remove Christ from Easter. But the fact is, we celebrate this day because of Easter. You know what? Just in case you didn't know, it isn't because of Easter eggs. The Easter bunny didn't come and save you. Just want to throw that out there in case anyone didn't know. He's cute. He's furry. I've had a bunny one day. We had a bunny once called Binky. And he was a cute bunny. But the Easter bunny is not going to do anything. So if you pray the Easter bunny, going nowhere. But for thousands of us. But let me just, maybe you're not aware of this. But this Easter weekend, actually for thousands of people across our earth, is a very, very dangerous time. For thousands and thousands of believers. You know, there's a research called, it's called the Pew Research Center, and it lists, and this is actually known by our world organizations, United Nations, that the most persecuted group of people on this earth is Christians. Has been for a while. And today, it is no different. Right across this earth, the most persecuted group of people are Christians. And on average, they tell us there's 100,000 Christians are martyred globally every year. That's estimated 100,000 brutally martyred for their faith. I don't want to be morbid, but let me just jump. I want to give you two of the worst places on earth for a Christian. Can I just give you some facts? Because now we sit here in our beautiful Easter Sunday, and the greatest persecution that we've had this morning is that we had to get up on a public holiday. Or maybe we had to hold off on our hot cross bun for a couple of hours and to get here to be in church. True? That's about it, really. Or we didn't go away for the weekend. But right across this earth, there are people, when it comes to this Easter day, this is like there is a heightening of abuse and persecution right across this earth that happens at Easter time. Number one worst place for a Christian in persecution, number one place for persecution in this world at the moment, according to facts and figures, is North Korea. And I know, obviously, we were watching the news a little bit, and we hear he's out there and apparently had another failed attempt this morning. I saw on my feed, he's trying to get himself, Kim Jong-un, to get towards nuclear power. He's a madman. 25 million people in his country, 300,000 Christians. And the main religion there is atheism and traditional beliefs, but the biggest problem with him is he set himself up as a god, that everyone has to worship him. In our day and age, that just seems insanity, doesn't it? But that's what it is. And so in his place, Christians are forced to hide their faith completely from government authorities. Neighbors and friends and spouses, sometimes people are married, they won't tell each other that they're a Christian. There's so much surveillance, it's never-ending. People pray there with eyes open. It's a common thing. You don't close your eyes and pray. It's too much of a telltale sign. There's torture camps right throughout the country. because you're supposed to worship him and his family. And if you don't do that, and one of their greatest threats to that is actually Christianity, because they can't understand how these people actually have so much faith and they want to do it and they put themselves on harm's way. Entire Christian families are imprisoned in labor camps and unknown numbers. They can't get stats on exactly how many, but they die and they disappear and they either die of starvation or beatings or torture. And anyone that tries to flee South Korea, they risk instant execution. So there's a whole bunch of people out there when it comes to Easter, to gather on an Easter Sunday, which they all desperately want to do. It means life and death. Second, I'll just give you two. The second worst place for Christians on this earth is Somalia. The leader of that place is President Hassan Sheikh Mohamed. Population of 11 million, and there's only a few hundred Christians left. Main religion is Islamic extremism. Martyrdom is just commonplace there. It's been on the world's watch, humanitarian watch list for, since 1993. It was an established Islamic country, but the arrival of Christianity is just, anyone that's involved in Christianity is completely and violently and attacked. There's a tribal system there which is very resistant to democracy, and Christians in that society have no voice, no rights in society, and they are persecuted. And if you are caught and proven to be a Christian, public execution is still something that they're involved in. They'll just kill you on the spot, publicly executed for your faith. And you know what? There's a list out there of just country after country after country where Christianity is under persecution. We don't face anything like that, do we? But you know what's happening across our Western world? I'll just give you one fact. The greatest challenge and the greatest attack to our Western world right now is something called secular intolerance. Attempts to eradicate religion from both public and private domains, imposing an atheistic form of secularism as the governing ideology. Would you agree that's starting to, trying to bring it into our schools, bring it into our government, bring it right across everything, get rid of our heritage? We're a Christian nation, amen? That's why Easter is still celebrated. That's why shops are closed and things, well, at this stage, are. But we've got, that's all we've got to deal with, and there's great ways to deal with that. I think we've got to stand up for our faith. We can't be quiet. Amen? Your faith is important to you. There are brothers and sisters who are literally giving up their lives for their faith, and sometimes all we need to do is dispel our faith and commit our faith in our workplaces and our schools and our places like that. Be willing to share our faith. Amen? Stand up and let people know that we are believers. If you believe with me in this place, say amen. I love this incredible message for Resurrection Sunday. Because you know what? I think of those people across this earth who Easter right now is a time, like literally in these countries, people, they want to gather, but they do their best sometimes not to, because this is where other people that hate Christians go out looking for them. So, you know what I mean? For them, it's like a stirring to go and persecute. And so, for many people. So, what compels someone? I love 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and it just talks about Resurrection Sunday. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, an incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed and the last time. You know, there's something that's been released to every believer, and it's every believer in this place and every believer throughout this earth, no matter where they are, whether they are in North Korea right now, South Korea, one of those Koreas. North, of course it is. Whether it's been someone in North Korea or Somalia or some other place like that across this earth, there is something that's been released to everyone that gives them, and it's released into you. As soon as you give yourself to Christ, there's something called a living hope that gets released into your spirit. Amen? Because how do you, when I read about it, and I actually got into a little bit of detail, and there's testimonies, some great sites out there. There's a site called The Door of Hope, if you want to read about persecution. And it's stories there about people and their faith and what they've put up with and what they've endured for their faith. And you think, why, how do they go through all of this? It's because there is something that's deposited in us. And the Bible says it here. It says it in this first verse. It says, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A living hope. You see, you got men and women, whether here in Australia or overseas facing persecution, who have inside of them a living hope. It's not just a hope that maybe this will turn out or maybe this will get through. It's something that's alive. It's a living hope. Breathing hope, and that is Jesus Christ. That is his spirit of resurrection that when it goes inside of you, changes you forever. That is why these people can gather and they keep gathering and they keep their faith and they keep doing what they're doing. And some of them don't tell their family or their spouses, and they keep it because inside of them it's alive, it's living. There's a hope that rests over their lives, fills their hearts and their minds. I mean, we live in a Western world where, you know, despair, depression, these things are on the rise. We need more than ever a living hope. Amen? And sometimes we need to take hope. We need to see the example of some of these people that literally, they do put up with this physical persecution and torture. Because they have this living hope that they connect themselves to. But it's for every believer, no matter what you're going through in this place, whether, I don't know what your struggle is, maybe there is anxiety, maybe there's fear, maybe there's financial difficulty, maybe there's something going on in your life right now. But I can tell you, friend, the reason for Resurrection Sunday, the reason that it's been, like this verse says in 1 Peter, that's been installed into every heart in this place as a living hope. Not just some manufactured hope of maybe, hey, I hope you have a good day. I hope this year goes well. There's a living hope that's it's there every time you read the Word of God. When I read the Word of God, I come out inspired because there's a living hope. Are you with me? I read something that relates to my circumstance, and it's Christ through relationship, and he deposits, he ignites, he stirs up the resurrection life that's inside of me and gives me hope in any situation. Amen? The reason we gather here and pray on a Monday, or you pray privately, or you run to prayer when you're in a bad situation or your family's going through something, is because there is a living hope. And the reason why these persecuted people stand up for their faith and they do what they do is because they are a part of and they experience a living hope. It's not dead. It gives us unexpected strength in bleak and hopeless times. I don't know, maybe you're flying at the moment. Everything's awesome. Or maybe you've got health challenges, financial, relationship, you name it. There's a living hope. Hope sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. That's deposited in every single person that accepts Christ. Some thousands of Christians over many, many years have put up with, stood up for, and endured because of a living hope. They've stood up against governments and individuals that have tried to destroy them for their faith. Hebrews 6:19 describes this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, as which enters the presence behind the veil. I've described this before, but let me describe it another way. Quite a few years ago now, maybe 15 years ago, I tried something. I did some abseiling. Who's ever done abseiling? I did that, and that was scary enough. You go off backwards, and you come down the mountain. And you just, this is rope. That's it. And then they said to me, "Hey, do you want to do something different?" And I said, "Yeah, what?" They said, "You're going to do something called an angel walk." And I'm, what's that? It's where you go over the cliff front ways. And, you know, it's a whole different world. And apparently that's, you know, how they, it messes with your mind, because you literally, going down, you're going like this. It's sort of like, okay, for most. But when you walk over a cliff like this and you're holding it like this and you're walking down facing what you're walking to, it's freaky. Messes with every instinct that's in your brain. You're like, what are you doing? And so they said, do you want to do this? It's called an angel walk. And apparently people run down hills like this. And I said, okay. And I did it. And do you know what? The hardest part was just taking that step. This is the cliff. Taking that step is just so unnatural. Do you know what? That just describes what it's like to have a living hope. It describes what a persecuted Christian does. Are you hearing me? A persecuted Christian is standing there, and everything about what they're about to stand up for is unnatural to them. But they know that they've got this anchor, and they step over. Are you hearing me? They've got something that's sure. I love that verse, because it says this hope is an anchor and it goes all the way through into heaven to the Holy of Holies and connected to the Holy of Holies. It's a line that connects us. As you look at this verse 3, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love the next part, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, this ultimate hope that we have is an inheritance. So those persecuted Christians and all of us in this room, we have an inheritance. I mean, I've got an inheritance coming, but, you know, I see bumper stickers on people's cars. You know, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Have you seen those? There's a caravan and a camper van or something, and then you see a couple of people with grey hair and they're out there, and, you know, you never know what your inheritance is going to be when you get it, right? You never know. Who knows? But this living hope is described in Christ, and what's loaded into our spirits, if we can get our heads around it, is that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, which means nothing on this earth can deal with it. It can't tarnish it. It can't destroy it. It's incorruptible by anything else. It's undefiled. Defiled. It's not man-made. It's something that's precious, solid. It's something from God and does not fade away. It doesn't diminish like your inheritance does, right? Because your parents are spending it. It's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This hope that we have that comes from resurrection power of Christ that sits on every life, and I believe if, more than anything, when someone is facing persecution for their faith, they understand this inheritance that they have. Amen? That we don't live for just now. We live for eternity. Are you hearing me? Is life supposed to be all good? No. There's too many accounts in the Bible. There's too many accounts of martyrs across this earth where that this life isn't it at all. It's the next life. Because they've got a hope inside of them that they endure. Are you with me? I'm not preaching doom and gloom in this place because we live in a fantastic, blessed place and a blessed time. But I'm telling you, there is a hope inside of you that can get you through anything. Amen? And you need to get a hold of it, and you need to realize that it's the resurrection power of Christ, that when you come to Resurrection Sunday, this Sunday is telling us that death can't do it. It can't finish you off. It can't destroy you. There is nothing that can destroy you. Resurrection Sunday is telling you that no matter what you're going through, it's not finished because there's a power of Christ that resides in you. Amen? And whether it does destroy your mortal body right now, you've got an inheritance that is amazing. But there is a power that's released to you to get through no matter what circumstances you face right now. Our world is overwhelmed by anxiety. It's the worst it's ever been right now. And more than anything in this room, we need hope. Amen? Hope actually tells you, it just tells you it's not finished. So I know in this room, there are some of you, it's just like, man, I'm just so tired. I feel like I've been battling for ages. Can I just tell you what the resurrection power of Christ tells you is it is not finished. As long as you've got a breath and you love Jesus, it is not finished. And the only time it will ever be finished on this earth is when you inherit your inheritance in Him in heaven. And then it really is. The struggle is over and you're in paradise. Amen? Does that sound like a good ending? We need to live under that. We need to allow that power because Christ did not come to just die. He came to give us a living hope. He came to give us something so powerful, so undeniable. And if you allow Him to, He will put that deposit inside of you and you will do some things you've never done before. Amen? Some of you need to take some steps of faith. Some of you need to live and stand up for the Word of God that's in your hearts. Some of you need to realize that, you know, God is who He says He is. And your faith is the greatest inheritance that you have in your life. It isn't your finance. It isn't just your education. It's not all of that. It's your hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus said, it was finished. And when He said it was finished, He said, the death, the destruction, the penalty that was upon your life was no longer because you had accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, you have a new living hope. You have a resurrection power that's been released to you and you can get over and get through anything. Amen? We're going to live with that. We're going to live with that inside our spirits. I want to speak hope into every person in this room. The resurrection power of Christ is in this room. Just, why don't you stand to your feet in this place just for a moment? There's a power in this room. You know, for some of you, I hope your Christianity didn't stop at the cross. I hope your revelation of God hasn't stopped at the cross, that He died for you, that He forgave you, that He's taken away your sins. Because sometimes I feel like Christians live that way. We live, great, thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful for what He's done for us. That He died on the cross for us. We understand that He loves us. We understand that He's forgiven us. We understand that. But I hope your Christianity extends all the way to His resurrection and realize that there was a hope released into your spirit. There's a hope over your life that can make you live an extraordinary life. Amen? It's a living hope. It's for the living to live. Amen? And it's not think that you can even get your head around it. And when you read the Word of God, you just say, Jesus, your resurrection power is in me. Your Word says what the same Spirit that was in Him is in us. Amen? And you, if you come to a struggle or a challenge, you go, God, I want that, some of that transfer, that hope right now. Give me a breath of life into my spirit so that I can get up and I can turn the circumstance around for you. Amen? Because if you don't accept that, you're not accepting the resurrection power that God released. Don't let your Christianity rest on the cross. Yes, we're grateful. But now He wants us to live grateful. Amen? Live with a hope. And I pray for everyone in this room. Just close your eyes for a moment. This is something we do every Sunday. And